We are reading from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Luke 15, 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the floor, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then back in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for 9 pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage this morning. We pray, Lord, that as Pastor Joseph comes this morning, that you would open our hearts, that you would prepare us for what you would have for us. Father, I ask that you would remove all distractions and thoughts, and Lord, help us to really focus on your word this morning, to focus on you. And Father, we do pray this afternoon as we go out and do outreach, Father, that there would be rejoicing in heaven over that one lost sinner that comes to you, Lord. We pray for good contacts this afternoon, for divine contacts, Lord, and we just really pray that you would prepare the people out there and to be receptive to hearing your word, Lord, and that there truly will be rejoicing this afternoon, Lord, in heaven. We thank you for this passage and for this word, and we pray that you would bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many years ago, as a matter of fact, about 48 years ago, when I was much, much younger, and I'm not saying I'm old, I'm saying when I was younger, I decided to come to Canada. Why? That was in search of a brighter future and happiness. I left behind my family, friends, beautiful country, Greece, and weather and all the material, the few material things I possessed, and came to Canada. Even though my family joined me a year later, I had to give up things that were very precious to me. Why? For a better life and happiness. In Matthew 13, verse 44 and 45, we have the story of two men who sold everything they had to buy treasures that would make them happy. I don't know how true this story is, but in the early 1500s, Faust, a German magician, sold his soul to the devil in return for magic powers. This was for a period of 24 years, after which the devil dragged Faust to hell. This is found actually in a book published in 1587. What would you give to obtain perfect happiness and joy? How much you are willing to pay to be happy? How much are people willing to pay for a few more years? How much pain and suffering and money people are willing to spend and to go through the suffering just to live another 6 months or a year or 2 years or even 10, 20 years? What is the price for joy and happiness? What would you give to obtain that happiness? What would you give up or trade to reach your dreams and goals in life? Mine was a very little example of giving up some of the beautiful things to come to Canada, to Quebec, where the thing I saw when I came was snow and cold and less, no sea, and things that would excite me. But I thought that was worth giving up. These things were worth giving up to get a better and brighter future. People go through a lot of difficult times, or sometimes they study and they study from one subject to another just to prepare for a brighter future, to prepare themselves for a brighter future. How far have you come in fulfilling your dreams? And these are questions only you can answer. These are questions that we have to deal daily. I was just sitting there this morning and thinking of examples in the Bible where Jesus made sure that the person that came to him understood the price and the cost of joy, happiness, salvation, if you wish. And I remember when the young man came, the rich ruler came to him and he said, "Lord, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" He had everything. Why would he care about eternal life? He had money, he had houses, he had wealth. He needed nothing, but he came nevertheless because he was thinking of his soul. But when he came to Jesus and Jesus saw his attachment, he was hooked on his wealth. He told him one thing: go and sell all your wealth. He didn't even give him a chance to say why. He said, "Go and give up all your wealth and follow me." When he went to the disciples, he said, "You want to follow me?" No, he said, "Come and follow me." And they left whatever they had and followed Jesus. When people make a commitment to Jesus these days, these commitments are very conditional. What are you willing to give up for real peace, joy, and a peace of mind? That you'll be able to go to bed at night and not worry about tomorrow because you know that that tomorrow is not yours. And what would you give up or give to have that peace and joy and the assurance of eternal life? What would you give up and pay for some laughter, some joy, some peace at home when everything is so turbulent and things are not going well? What would you give up or trade in to receive that absolute joy and peace? Elise sang a beautiful hymn this morning. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Well, before I came here, Greece had just finished going through the Second World War, and then the Civil War, and we were very poor. As a matter of fact, thousands of Greeks and others died in the streets of hunger. I was very poor, and my aim was to come to a place where I could have more food and more clothing and more luxuries and maybe a car and maybe, you know what, I came here and in a very short while I did find a lot. As a matter of fact, I came here, I found a lot of food and I found a lot of clothing, and I found a wife that I married, and we started a business, and everything was going well and still is going well. But you know what? All that did not satisfy my soul. That gave me a very comfortable life. That gave me an assurance that I'll be able to pay my bills. And that gave me the satisfaction of knowing that I wanted to have a business. I have that business. That gave me the satisfaction of having a relationship with my wife that every young person or most young people want to have. It gave me the satisfaction of having children, but you know, the soul inside needs more than that. And I don't care what people say, whether they believe in God or they don't believe in God. We were saying this yesterday. In every heart, in every soul, there is this craving to find the answer to the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? For heaven's sake, someone help me. Tell me why I am on this earth. The church says one thing, the philosophers say another thing, the atheist says another thing, the agnostic says, well, I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know where have I come from and why. And if this was an accident, what a terrible tragedy. What an accident this is for me to know that there is life and there is death and there is something out there that I cannot reach and touch. And you, people may ignore all that. Most of the atheists have a more difficult task to prove to the world that there is no God than the ones who believe in God. The only reason why they're making such a big fuss is because they themselves are craving to find the truth. They want to know, but they cannot know because, excuse me, the Bible says, that the fool said in his heart, there is no God. How can Eugene be an accident, my friend? He's not an accident. God created Eugene. God created Joseph. And what price am I willing to pay to have this one life that God gave me to be happy and to be assured of a life on this earth that is full of peace and joy, even when I'm going through difficulties? What am I willing to give, trade in? The unfortunate thing is, and talking to many Christians who are burning with a desire to serve the Lord, that the church is going through a very terrible period of apathy. Pews have become very comfortable. Churches have become very comfortable with the beautiful music. Activities have become very entertaining. Unbelievers come in a church and they don't see any difference. Why would someone who is doubting about God be convinced when he looks around him and he sees the so-called Christians being more opportunistic, more materialistic, and more or equally unfair and corrupt as anybody else? What are you willing to give up to receive that peace, that joy, that assurance? Are you happy with what you have achieved this far in your life? Do you have any plans or ideas of how to achieve lasting happiness? Looking around you today, you would have thought that the only things that give happiness and joy, wealth, are wealth, education, and pleasure. It is a mad race. The examples of rich and famous people that are miserable and lonely are many in the daily news. As a matter of fact, our literatures are based in the lives of at least three of famous people. Elizabeth Taylor had everything. Elvis Presley had everything. And Hendrix had everything. But they, at least in the case of the two who are gone, they were the most miserable people. Elizabeth Taylor is not any happier today than ever before. What makes these people so miserable? They need money, they have money. They need beauty, they were good looking. They need friends. They had many. They need whatever they needed. Fame. They were very famous, but they were miserable. Why do you think you should be any happier without Christ than they are? What do you think will make you happier? Having a relationship with someone else? If you are a young person looking for a partner or a friend or an experience, you will go through that experience and enjoy it for a short while, and then that's going to become very painful unless God is in that relationship. Money will become a burden unless God is in that relationship between you and the money. What? Fame? Famous people are not any happier. You see them daily being caught in experiences, in relationships that are either betraying their spouses or betraying their country or themselves. Why? It seems that riches, fame, so-called friends, and even youth and health do not necessarily bring peace and happiness. The title deed or the deed of sale to the entire earth would not be enough to compensate the loss of your soul. If you were willing to pay the price to buy the entire, and if you had the money, and if you put enough effort to be able to own the entire globe, this earth, it wouldn't make you any happier. It would make you the most miserable person on earth. It seems that all attention is given to the body, bodybuilding courses and exercises, foods, vitamins, dressing up the body, fixing up the body, facelifts, plastic surgery. Yet very little attention is given to the soul. The soul is the last thing people think about, if at all. Let's be honest, how often do you think about your soul, if you ever think about your soul? And how often do people in the world think about their soul, if they believe in a soul? Yet very little attention is given to that soul. Do you know how important your soul is? If you do, is the welfare of your soul your first priority? Do you know the value of your soul? You see, because God knows the value of our soul or your soul, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the price and save our souls from eternal hell. And you say, now, okay, that's what you say, that's what the Bible says, but how do I know? Well, if you don't know that, you know nothing. Because everything else you know is useless. The only thing, the only knowledge, the only truth, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And because God and heavens know the value of your soul, there is a great rejoicing, or the value of a soul, there is a great rejoicing in the presence of God and the angels for a soul that is being saved. Why did God pay such a high price to save eternal souls? Well, because of the reality of hell. Hell. Who talks about hell these days? People may doubt the existence of hell and eternal punishment, but God knows the reality of hell, or else He would not have come to this earth to save eternal souls from hell. Each soul saved is another plucked, saved from hell. Do you remember Lazarus and the rich man? And talking with a Jehovah Witness once, he said, oh, that's only an example. It's not the truth. You can't prove to me that that was reality. But I believe that is an absolute part of his human history. Jesus never used examples or gave any stories and naming people. But in this situation, in this case, he said there was a man, his name was Lazarus. Unless Jesus was lying, this is then reality. And Jesus said, this man Lazarus died, and angels carried him into heaven. How heaven is, or how angels carried him, is none of my business. It's God's business. But I know that the Bible says, and angels carried him in the bosom of Abraham, in the presence of God. And then it says that this rich man, who wasn't that bad, he was not a criminal, he only had rejected God, or he didn't pay very much attention to God. He died. And Jesus said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. There is consciousness in hell. It is amazing what people will risk or do for money and pleasure. But the trade-off does not make sense. Jesus said, what good is it for man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Someone may say of our members, why do you keep talking about salvation, holiness, hell, etc.? That's because I want to speak about things that God spoke. God spoke more about heaven, hell, and holiness and following Him than anything else. Today, salvation and Christianity has become such a good thing to have. In some countries, in some states, in the United States and in Canada, it's very fashionable to go to church and practice a faith, churchianity, I call it. But you know, following Christ is what the Bible says, is faith. Unless I believe in Jesus, why would I follow Him? And if I believe in Jesus, why am I not following Him? Why am I looking at person A on television, person B on television, or some famous preacher or teacher, and I take his words like the Bible truth, and I reject everything else that the Bible says because they don't suit my taste? Cheap, easy believism has become a way of life, but Jesus said, follow me. When they ask me, what is your religion, what is your faith, I just don't want to tell them I'm a Protestant, a Baptist, a pastor. I just want to tell them I'm the follower of Christ. That's who I am. I'm a person who was lost. He was confused, still confused sometimes. And I didn't know which religion, what denomination, and who and what was the truth until I just focused on Jesus, and I keep following Him, and I'm sorry that I'm following Him. What would you give up? Your tradition? Your luxuries? Your entertainment? Your hockey? Your baseball? Your football? Sex? Drinks? Drugs? Gambling? What? To follow Christ. Many who claim to be Christian and even practicing Christian forget or ignore the reality of hell. Remove hell from the Bible and what we're doing is a joke. If there is no hell, why bother? And you say, people say, oh, God is a loving God. He wouldn't send people to hell. And why do you think Jesus came to this earth to send people to hell? No, actually, just the opposite is the truth. Jesus says, said in John 3:17, I didn't come here to condemn and judge and send people to hell, but I came to save people from hell. You see, we've been condemned long time ago, right at creation. And ever since then, people have been going to hell. Those who rejected God went to their destination, which is hell. Those who looked up to God and believed God and followed God in the Old Testament, why do you think Noah is mentioned, and why do you think Abraham is mentioned? Why do you think thousands of people were saved in the Old Testament? Because they believed God. How can short-lived pleasures and wealth be compared to the awfulness of hell? Yes, hell, the forgotten doctrine of the reality and the reality of hell. Ministers, preachers, teachers, and Christians in general would rather not talk about death and hell. It's like they say, out of sight, out of mind. It seems we need to move to the brink, the edge of hell, for a glimpse of that reality of hell to be motivated to warn others of hell and eternal separation from God. Why do you think these people will be going out today giving out tracts? Why can't they go? Why don't they go home and relax, watch some television, eat something, and just take it easy? Why would they bother going out? It's because of the reality of hell and heaven. It's because we want, as a little ministry, we want to warn as many people as we can about hell and also introduce them Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life, to as many people as we can. That is why we distribute tracts in the Philippines, in Thailand, and in the Spanish world, in French, and every other language. Because we never see them. They don't come to our church. They don't write us letters necessarily, although we get some phone calls and emails and letters. It's because of the awfulness and awesomeness of hell and death and the value of that one soul saved. Also, we must rejoice of heaven where there is a great party. Every time a sinner repents and is saved, the prodigal son is one of the good examples. The prodigal son left home and he went and he wanted to experience sex. He wanted to experience drinks. He wanted to experience maybe drugs. He wanted maybe to experience freedom from home. He wanted to experience maybe the coolness of being part of a group, until he got bankrupt spiritually, emotionally, and physically bankrupt, finished. And then he remembered his father, and he came back. His father didn't question him. His father didn't say, first of all, go and wash yourself and come and talk to me. His father said, okay, sit down and tell me why. His father went out and hugged him and kissed him the way he was smelling like a pig probably, but the father nevertheless hugged him. That's how God is. We are sinners saved by grace. Let's make heaven happy. Let's reach out to lost souls with the good news of Jesus and His love. God cares for the lost. Jesus is still searching and seeking the lost. Jesus loves the lost and forgotten. He loves you. And He wants to give you and me His joy. Now, right here on earth and in eternity in His presence. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We are so privileged. We are so privileged to know about You. We are so privileged to be able to hear Your words. There are millions of people who have not heard of You or have heard very little, and they will not have the opportunity to make up their minds or to take a step toward You. We pray for them. But Lord, I pray about us, each one of us this morning. If there are any that are doubting Your existence, if there are any that have questions, if there are any that are struggling with physical, emotional, or mental problems, if there are any, Lord, that are about to walk away from You, please have mercy and touch each one. I pray for those of us who have made that decision and we have committed our lives to You. Please touch each one of us, restore us, revive us, and help us to feel the burden of lost souls. And Lord, help us to come to a point in our life that we may be able to say, I surrender all, everything. And Lord, no one has surrendered everything and has starved spiritually, emotionally, physically. No one who has come to you has been deprived of all your blessings, Lord. Even when things are lost, still we have you and your joy. And now, Lord, please touch each one of us. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.